What's up, guys? It's Cody here, and before we kick off the show, I want to talk real quick about our sponsor, Trojan Brand Condoms, the number one most trusted condom brand. Can you believe this is true? 70% of men don't even know that different condom shapes exist. So it makes sense that those same guys have issues with condoms because the wrong fit can make them super uncomfortable. You ever try to put the wrong cap on a pen? It doesn't work. Or you end up with ink everywhere. That's where Trojan saves the day, with over 30 different varieties of condoms to choose from, offering the right fit for the right guy. Trojan also has a whole range of pleasure-enhancing products like lubes and vibes, that's what they call vibrators, I just learned that, that'll unleash your sexual confidence. But we can get to those later. In the meantime, pick up a box of Trojan condoms wherever you get your condoms, and of course, enjoy the show. You don't have to have a condom on now to listen to the show, by the way, just, you know, if you have sex. It's like rappers rapping about shit all the time. Yeah, I'm the shit, because I'll be farting all the time.
You don't have to go straight to tape. You're not in
Save
a rush.
That one, dude, and like try it again.
Yeah, there's an engineer just like, can we do? He's like, nah, let's go.
You said you're farting on them?
That's right.
That's hard.
That's a line in every track on this album.
Hey, man, you having trouble with life? Well, let me give you some advice.
Hey, what's up? I'm Cody Coe, and welcome to The Pleasure Is Ours, the podcast in which we examine some of the worst advice people hear their whole lives and try to make it better. They say don't shit where you eat. And I'm sure anyone that's had to drop a desperation deuce at Dave & Buster's can get behind that sentiment. I've been there plenty of times. Anyway, this episode is about whether or not you should date a coworker. To discuss this phrase with me, I'm joined today by a hilarious comedian slash writer. You know him from the podcast Gilmore Guys and Pump Up the Jam, as well as The Late Late Show with James Corden, The Good Place, and The Amber Ruffin Show, to name just a few. And oh yeah, The Ringer named him the funniest person on the internet, and I don't disagree. I'm talking, of course, about my friend, Demi Adijuibe, a.k.a. Electro Lemon. Welcome to the show, Demi. It's been a while.
Hey, dude. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right.
When's the last time we even saw each other?
It's got to be like 5 years ago. Yeah.
Even are we even friends anymore?
Yeah, I haven't seen all my friends in 5 years.
Yeah, that's true.
You logged onto the Zoom and I was like, long hair, huh?
Yeah, this is a new thing I'm trying.
I think it looks great.
You're the only one.
Oh, really?
Thank you for saying it. So far, you're the only one. Everyone else online seems to just constantly make fun of me all the time, and it's really hurting my self-esteem. So I'm very grateful that you said something nice about it.
They're all just negging you.
Yeah. Trying to get my pants. You look great, though.
Thank you.
How's everything been treating you? As far as 2020 is concerned?
It's all right. I feel like I've been keeping myself busy. Earlier in this, I was just like, great, I'm just going to watch movies until this is all over. And then it was like, okay, well, it's going to be over in a year or so. And I was like, okay, I need new things to do. And so I just have been like baking and painting and trying to work again now. So I'm busy. That's good.
Wait, you bake?
Yeah.
Same.
I've been baking up a damn storm.
Same, dude.
Yeah.
It's nice. Like my new, I love it.
Yeah.
It's such a weirdly, you wouldn't think it's creative, but I mean, I guess you would, but even following a recipe for some reason feels more creative than other things to me.
Yeah. I just like it as a thing that I can do where it's like, this is a task that I will complete in a set amount of time. And then it can be like, I can give this to a friend. And it's just, it like checks off so many boxes for me. It's
so true. And you can reap the rewards for like a week.
Oh yeah.
If you don't give it to someone. I mean, if you do, then you're like, kind of like, well, you owe me now. You know?
Exactly.
Listen, right off the bat, let's cut to the core of this one. Should you shit where you eat? And sorry for our born again listeners.
I mean, the born again listeners are, you picked a weird podcast topic. I don't think you should. I think it's such a complex thing to date a coworker. But I was thinking about this last night, and it's like there are some industries where it feels like a secondhand nature. Like, I don't know many people who have worked in a restaurant and not like had a thing where there's like some weird incestuous, like everyone's fucking everyone. It seems like asking for trouble for something that could be so easily done anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I feel like comedians often date other comedians.
Yeah.
That's kind of like shitting where you eat a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah. And I've not dated any other comedians, which is not like a purposeful thing as much as it's just like by complete happenstance. But I feel like every one of my friends that has dated in the comedy community it feels like they have an anxiety about running into other comedians they've dated, or feel like they'll be like, oh, I'm going to a party tonight. I know I'm going to run into a bunch of people I've dated. And I'm just like, it feels like such a stressful thing. And I'm sure it's like, when it works out, it's probably worth it. But it's also like, comedy is not a workplace. You know, it's not a thing where you're like, you're going to have to see this person everywhere, like every day for hours a day.
I mean, so would you totally say stand up kind of is like, I mean, that's got to be kind of weird doing stand up in front of like an ex or something. And they're like praying that you that you just eat shit.
Yeah. Or that you don't tell a joke about them.
Oh, yeah. True. Yeah. 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 That would be kind of horrifying.
Unless the joke is really good, and then you're like, all right, I'm taking credit for this one. yeah. But I do feel like it's a job. So it's like, you got to think about it as a job and like all the things you don't want to do at a job. But it's also like there are a lot of like creative professions like acting and art and stand up where it's just, you're not going to necessarily be with the people that are in your field all the time. And so it may feel like less of a risk to like date a person who also works in that industry. But if it's something that you're like, I think it's more like you can date like another comedian, but if you're like in a sketch group, it's like probably don't date within the sketch group. I don't know. That feels like asking for trouble.
Or some really great sketches.
Some great, very tense sketches that clearly will have a romantic undercurrent that everyone's like, I don't know if this is, you're at the doctor's office. Why are y'all mad at each other?
I hooked up with a coworker one time. Wasn't even in the same like part of the office as me. It was a big company. So she worked for some other part. And it was just like we went to a company party, you know, probably not the most responsible thing to do. To pick up a coworker. I mean, I guess where else would you pick up a coworker?
But that's when it happens. It's always the company parties.
Yeah, yeah. Which, definitely not the smartest thing to do. What were we doing? I think we were making out on the dance floor or something, just in front of our bosses. Probably not just smart at all. And then the preceding 2 weeks were like so awkward. I would see her like once, just like every 3 days, and we'd be like, "Hey, do you remember? All right, cool. I'm gonna head back to my chair." And then we never talked again.
I think if you're in a scenario where you are like, it's a coworker that you don't have to interact with on a daily basis, maybe it's not as hard, but it is, it's that kind of thing where like some people feel like they can compartmentalize a hookup in a way where it's like, oh yeah, no, it's just a sexual like transaction almost. And I don't have to think about this weird dynamic that we have now. And I'm like, if you can do that, cool, but I don't think a lot of people can. So maybe take that into account when you're like, yeah, I'm just gonna have sex with this person.
Yeah, sex for me always involves falling in love right after, you know?
Yeah, it's just a thing where it's like, well, we could do that again a few times, and they're like, maybe. And I'm like, okay.
Should we get married too? So we could do this forever?
Let me guess your ring size. It's a six. It's a six.
I feel like Jim and Pam disproves all of this though. If that's not evidence that you should absolutely date a coworker, someone you see across the room every single day, then, you know, I don't know what is.
That's right. And that's a documentary, so you got to listen to it.
It's real.
Yeah. They're happy and living out in Pennsylvania now. I do think that, like, The Office is definitely, like, one of the biggest reasons that I think the work crush has been so romanticized. But I also think there's a difference between, like, having a work crush and, like, acting on that work crush. It's so, like, it's fulfilling to have a work crush. I think I'm someone who has crushes on like 90% of the people I meet. So just even having a crush at work, I'm like, this is great. I like having this person that I have this rapport with where I'm like, oh, maybe something. But I also know in the back of my head, it's like, no, I would not. No.
Yeah. It's a little bit motivating too. It's like you want to make jokes and like do better at your job so that you can impress them.
Totally. You go to work and you're like, oh, I hate this job, but I like this person.
That's so true. That's such like a weird, like, it almost made me excited to go to the office sometimes. There wasn't many reasons. One of the reasons was they had great fruit snacks.
Always a plus.
Fantastic trail mix all the time and good flavors of LaCroix. The work part of the whole thing sucked. I hated the work, but you know, it's like work crushes and good snacks that get you to the office sometimes.
As someone who doesn't like LaCroix, working has always been a pain for me.
Okay, hold on. What's this dude that was jerking off on Zoom?
Oh, Jeffrey Toobin?
Who is he and what's the story? Because I just saw that he's trending on Twitter and I want to know what the story is.
Okay, so from what I can gather, the New Yorker basically had an election simulation where they had different people from the New Yorker come together to play like different political parties and like types of Democrats and types of Republicans. And then at one point they took a recess and he thought that his camera was off or that he was going onto another Zoom. And then he got naked. He was like naked and jerking off and then like joined the Zoom again. And everyone was just sort of like pretending it didn't happen. And I'm just like, I don't fully understand what all has happened, but from what I can gather now, people are trying to be like, oh man, he just made a mistake and he accidentally showed his dick and now everyone's making fun of him. I feel bad. And other people are like, why was he masturbating at that time? Why was that? Like, that's the problem, right?
Wait, did he know that he was still on a work Zoom call?
Well, that's what people are sort of discussing. Some people are like, well, he thought he was on a different call. And then some people are like, he knew he was on the call and was like trying to do it under the like guise of like, oh, I thought I was somewhere else. Either way, I'm just sort of like, why? Like, even if it was a work call or like it wasn't supposed to be a work call, it's like he thought, all right, I got 10 minutes in between this. I'm going to hop onto this other Zoom and get fully naked and jerk off real quick. I'm like, there's no scenario in which I'm like, all right, let's lay off the guy. I think it's weird.
It's definitely weird. Yeah. Guys are gross, man.
Yeah, it's we don't know like, what the
10 minutes. All right, let's do it. You know, all of us are working on Zoom. This guy, it didn't shit where he ate. He took like a giant, you can't diarrhea more on where you're eating. You know what I'm saying?
No,
he took a shit right on top of his like TV dinner.
This man diarrheaed over a snack. Like it's something that he didn't, it's so crazy to me. But it's also like, I think it's very different in that it is not even a question of like this sort of like idea of sexual consent from two parties that they maybe shouldn't do because it's a bad thing to do it at work. This is just sort of a guy being like, it seems like he wanted to get off on the idea of doing this thing at work.
Oh, see, that's what I'm confused. Yeah. If that's the case, then that's insanely fucked up, right? That's absolutely like, you know, sexual harassment.
Absolutely. But then also, even if it's the other thing of like, no, he thought it was something else that he was doing in 10 minutes. I'm just still just like,
it's like, just shut down all the cameras and everything.
Yeah.
Close your laptop. Zoom is quit at least. Yeah, just close your laptop. Go to the bathroom. Take a shower.
I'm so paranoid about like Zoom and cameras and just even accidentally leaving a thing up that I'm like, no, dude, shut everything down. Go into a dark closet where you can't even see yourself and then maybe take your shirt off. It's
face the wall.
Put on blinders.
Here's a question. So Kelsey and I started dating and then we don't really work together, but we do a lot of shit together, like a lot of content. Do you feel like, you know, starting a business, or we got like, you know, Ethan and Hila from H3H3, you know, they like do a podcast together now. They have a brand together.
Right.
It's like, do you think marrying someone and then working with them, do you think that's still shitting where you eat? Or do you think that's eating and then taking a dump afterwards?
Yeah, I think that's like eating and being like, hey, this is a pretty good place to take a shit, huh? And your wife being like, it is a pretty good place to take a shit. We should open a restaurant where people shit while they eat. It always feels like a tricky thing to me. Just because I'm incapable of not thinking about, well, what happens to that business when or if the relationship is not going well, or even just like if you are having an argument with your partner, but you still have to work, like it just feels like two separate elements that can have really weird effects on the other part. So I'm always just like, I don't know. I don't feel like I'd do that. But I also, I don't know. I've never dated anyone that is in the same field as me. So it's never been a thing I've had to think about.
Yeah, it does feel like I'm the same way. I wouldn't stop thinking about what's going to happen to this business in case anything, I don't know, happens.
Yeah.
But it also, it seems to really work for people. And I think like when Kelsey and I used to podcast together, it was first of all really easy because I love talking to her. And second of all, people really like seeing, especially in content, it's kind of content specific, I guess, but people love seeing relationship stuff.
Totally.
Just like the dynamic, you know?
And I also think it's different with content because it's that stuff is so chemistry driven that it feels like the right person to make those things with is your partner.
Yeah.
Also just, it's not the end of the world if you're like, okay, we can't do this thing anymore. Like it's content is the kind of thing where like you can always sort of find a new way to do those things if something does go on with the relationship. It's not like, oh no, this entire like bakery that we started together has to be shut down.
I like that you said bakery. Mm. You got bacon.
I got it on the brain. I just made some apple turnovers. I'm like, what
if apple I had a turnovers?
Wife? Oh yeah.
Holy hell.
Yeah. I'm going into the intermediate stages. I'm starting pastries.
So is this because you watch a Great British Baking Show, or is this just because you randomly started baking?
Randomly started baking. Just before the pandemic, I had a friend who would come over and make cookies with my roommate all the time. And then when that stopped, I was like, I would really love to make cookies. And then I was just sort of like, well, what else can I bake? And it just spiraled.
It's a slippery slope, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I made cookies one time, and then I was like, holy fuck, I got to make Viennese whirls now.
Oof.
And so I bought a piping bag, and I piped them all. That was my first like intermediate thing, and it actually turned out pretty good.
I went from cookies to lemon cakes, and then I was like, all right, well, banana bread. I made cinnamon rolls recently. After all of this, I was like, I've never made brownies, and I made brownies for the first time like a month ago.
I like this podcast is about not shitting where you eat, but we're just talking about eating.
Yeah, you said eat, and now I'm hungry. We'll talk about how you shit after you eat.
Are there some industries where maybe we hope that people shit where they eat, right? Like finance bros, you know, let's keep them, they can procreate with the finance girls.
Yeah, any sort of industry that's like just designed to attract people who want power, I'm like, I hope someone takes you for all your money and you lose half that power just because you got way too horny and now you're like, all right, well, my wife owns half of Amazon.
Yeah, him and his wife, that was a messy divorce.
Yeah, and like I'm just kind of like, hey, good for her that she gets half of that company, but I'm also just sort of like any person like Bezos, I'm always just like, you shouldn't have that much money, and even when you lose half of it, you still have more money than God. Like,
yeah,
it's the sort of privilege to have that much money that like if you shit where you eat, it won't affect you. So I'm great. Yeah. Fuck up your life. I don't care.
Shit all over the place.
Exactly. You're into that.
Me?
No, Bezos. He's like, this is what I'm into. I'm shitting where I eat on purpose.
Just to prove to people that I can still be rich while doing it.
You're like, oh, my secret's been exposed.
Yeah, I was like, how did you know that? Do you think antisocial people are more inclined to shit where they eat? Like, because they're forced to interact with people because they're around their coworkers all the time?
That's an interesting question.
I made a lot of new friends at my first job out of college, like a lot of great friends, because I had no friends in LA at the time. And, you know, besides Vine, it was like the only way that I was meeting new people.
Right.
And I actually like met a lot of people that I'm genuinely still friends with. But so I feel like that same goes with people meeting, you know, romantic partners. Like that's a good way that you don't have to use Tinder. You know?
Right. I feel like adult friendships are so weird because like when you're a kid, it's just because like, well, yeah, we go to school, so I guess let's be friends. But when you're an adult, it's like you either have to find a way to actively choose to find and make friends, or you just become friends with the people at like work. And then it's like, well, if this is my social circle, how do I date anyone that isn't this group of people? So I do think maybe people who are by nature antisocial probably will end up having a thing with a coworker or having a thing with like a friend of a coworker, or having it be like my romantic life is somehow tied to work because the only people I know are from work.
Yeah. How do you even meet friends as an adult without work?
I know. Twitter is how it's been.
Twitter. Familiar. Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
All of friendships are online now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. I guess this year it's like you don't need
especially
to.
Especially this year. Yeah.
No one's making any new friends besides. They're doing some Zoom calls maybe with new friends, like us.
Yeah. New friends.
New friends. I mean, rekindled friendships.
Right.
Do you think quitting a job to make a romance happen can be considered a form of chivalry, or is that dumbassery?
Ooh, I...
Like, you can't fire me, I quit! This is for you, Sandra.
I'd be like, that's too big of a romantic gesture. I think that's a red flag. You need to chill out.
So they get dumped too?
Yeah. It's like, whoa, I didn't ask you to do this.
You got no job and then no
all in like 1 minute. It's like, I quit and I did it for you. I don't want this. Get out of here. Fuck.
So it's dumbassery then.
Absolutely dumbassery. I don't know. I don't think like I would never want to be in a relationship where I ask someone to do something like that for me. And I don't think I'd want to do that for someone unless it was like, this job is awful. I don't need it. There's literally no reason for me to stay here. So I'm going to quit. And as a bonus, now it's better for me to date you. But like,
not
the tipping point of like, I'm going to do this for you.
You can do it and then use it. You'd be like, I did it for you. Exactly. I didn't. I was actually going to quit. But, you know,
you can throw it in their face in arguments in the future.
Yeah, exactly.
I quit my job for you.
She's like, what? Like, that's right. She's like, I thought you hated that job. I did, but it was for you.
I stayed just long enough to get a salaried position, and then I quit so I could use it in this one argument.
The pandemic has made couples spend way more time together than they would normally. Do you think that the increased breakup slash divorce stats will make people think twice about dumping at work?
I almost worry that like the increased like divorce stats and even just sort of like the weird intensity of pandemic dating or loneliness might result in an increase in workplace relationships almost. Just sort of like, I don't know. I think it's like when someone stays inside all the time, when they go outside, it feels like their skin is more sensitive to the sun. And it's like, if you go this entire pandemic, like not dating anyone, and then you're like finally out and it's like you go to a workplace and you're just like, oh, there's a bunch of people I could date. I think people might be more persuaded to be like, I want to try and lock this down. Let's do it.
Yeah. Also, like workplace relationships this year, like can't exist.
Yeah.
Right?
What is everyone? You guys just sneaking off to a private Zoom being like, oh, crazy, huh?
Do you think that's actually happened?
At least once. There's got to be some people who have, I mean, it's sort of just like starting a relationship long distance, which I've done twice. But it's like, I don't know, you sort of fall for someone based on either just being like, well, here's how we can communicate. And then like, it's just a sequence of like word exchanges, which is all you get now. And I think that'll probably end up in relationships.
But that's way more obvious when you're in person with someone. You know, you can shoot them a glance or something like that. You can't really shoot someone like a sexy glance on a group Zoom call.
Yeah.
Everyone's gonna think you're hitting on
them. It's like, oh, are you looking at me or are you looking at Dave? What's going on? Who are you flirting with right now?
Just unmute. Hey, John, who are you winking at? Just wanted to clarify. Oh, there's that Candace. Okay, cool.
John, I want to circle back on that wink. Is there a reason you weren't winking at me?
Yeah. Is it something? Is it my hair? Zoom work calls are just the worst.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who have to be in them for like a show they're working on and they have to be in it like all day. And I.
Yeah. Is that how like a modern day writer's room works?
So the writer's room I'm in, I'm very lucky because first of all, they're on New York time. So we're like on a different schedule. But also the schedule that they are working with, they have too much shit to do during the day. So we'll meet in the morning and have like an hour long call where we're just talking about like sketches and like just being like, okay, here are the things we have to do over the next week. And then we're just off on our own, not in a Zoom room, and we have assignments. And that's how it should be. But some people, I think, want it to feel like a normal writer's room where you're like in the room all day and working on one thing. And I just feel like that's so hard to do.
That's really tough.
Like, I couldn't be in a room with people for 8 hours looking at them being like, all right, what do we do for the next page?
I don't think virtual meetings will ever be there, you know?
No.
People try to make it like companies now have these giant screens. You walk into a meeting room and there's like a constant feed. So it feels like you're really there. It's just never the same.
No.
It's always just, you're always going to go on Twitter instead of like pay attention to whatever the fuck's happening on the screen.
Yeah, everyone's learning how to do that like split screen thing so they can have a Zoom room and then just be like, all right, what's on YouTube?
That's what I'm doing right now. I'm not watching YouTube, but I got the questions up here.
You really should. Great stuff on there.
Wait, what'd you say, Demi? Sorry, I was in the middle of a video.
Oh, I was saying you really should be watching YouTube. Some great stuff on there.
Have you ever known someone who's effed a boss of theirs? Has fricked a boss?
Ooh, I'm trying to think. I feel like I have, but I can't really point to any.
Because that's a whole nother level of shitting where you eat. That's like, maybe you're like just trying to get a better meal.
Right, yeah. You're trying to, that's compliments to the chef.
Yeah, exactly.
I've known people who have like hooked up with like people of a higher power status in a different department of their work where it's like that person could affect your job. But I don't think anyone who's directly hooked up with their boss, which is just, that's another thing. It's like the power dynamics of a work relationship sometimes are a thing that like is the only thing that you can think about with the relationship. And it's like, you really can't date someone who is at a higher or lower power level than you. Cause that's fucked up in so many ways.
And will often end in a lawsuit.
Oh, yeah. If not a lawsuit, just like fear, paranoia about your career, just like so many different things where it's like, was it worth it?
Yeah. I feel like the phrase shit where you eat is also just weird in general. It's like, what is that? Were people shitting? Like, is the idea you'll get poop in the food?
I guess so.
Were people shitting while eating?
I think the idea is that it's going to make eating bad because you'll have to smell the shit.
But it's like, where does that come from? Were people doing that at one point?
Maybe it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's like when you sit in the back of a plane right next to the toilet. And it's like, hey, you don't want that seat. It's too close. You're going to smell it. And someone's like, oh, it reminds me of when I was dating my boss. It also, it's just such a weird thing to me to make the analogy for like a sexual relationship. It's like shitting. It's like, are your relationships really bad? What's going on here? Why did you give it like shit?
It's like rappers rapping about shit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see how many rap references there are to like farting and poops and shit? But it's always in reference to like something good.
Yeah,
it's like I'm shitting on you.
Yeah, I doo-doo on you. I'm like, what? What?
Yeah. I'm the shit because I'll be farting all the time. And you're like, ugh, what?
You can do drafts, man. You can rewrite this stuff.
You can do drafts.
You don't have to go straight to tape. You're not in
Save
a rush.
That one, dude, and like try it again.
Yeah, there's an engineer just like, can we do? He's like, nah, let's go.
You said you're farting on them?
That's right.
That's hard.
That's a line in every track on this album.
All right, everyone, we're going to take a quick break. But when we get back, me and Demi are going to tweak this advice in real time for you. And by that, I mean we're going to fix it. So, Demi, let me ask you a question real fast. What do you think of when you hear the word Trojan?
Big old horses going into Greece.
And what about when I say the words Trojan brand condoms?
I always think of the word Magnum immediately, as if there's nothing else it's used for. But yeah, I think reliable brand, it's the Kleenex of condoms.
I mean, you should think that, because Trojan has been trusted for over 100 years, with over 30 varieties of condoms to satisfy every fit and feel. But what if I told you that Trojan is about pleasure as a whole, like they make lubes and vibrators as well? What do you think of that?
I truly didn't know that they did that.
Yes, they call them, they call them vibes. That's what Trojan calls vibrators, vibes.
It's a vibe.
It is a vibe. They make Ultra Touch and Divine that makes solo play or foreplay more exciting. They make vibrating rings for him and her, like tandem and two-in-one, that create pleasure for both partners. Have you ever used anything vibrating in the bedroom?
Yeah, it's always fun to throw a vibrator into the mix.
You know what? I haven't done that, and I'm going to do that. They
you
sent
gotta
me one.
Try it out.
I'm going to do it.
Do it. And then report back. Tell everyone how it went in extreme detail.
Next mid-roll ad, I'll say how it went.
It's like, don't shit where you eat, but man, I can tell you what you should be doing where you eat.
Trojan has silicone-based lube with their Arouses and Releases line and water-based lube with their H2O line. That's science for water. So here's the thing. They got 30 different varieties of condoms. They got vibes and they got lubes. And the best part is you can use them all together for a crazy night. What do you think of that?
I like that. I think it's nice to have a lot of different things that you can use to sort of make sex feel different. I think a lot of people get stuck in it just being like the same experience every time. And I'm like, well, that's no fun.
Yeah. You can pair any of this stuff with one of the 30 varieties of condoms I mentioned earlier. And there's a lot more to explore. Find the right condom and combination of products for you. So the next time you're in the condom aisle and grabbing a box of Trojan condoms, make sure to check out Trojan's collections of lubes and vibes and make the pleasure yours. Okay, here's my best attempt at fixing this one. Don't shit where you eat, but feel free to defecate where you dine. If your intentions are pure and the feelings are mutual, you should absolutely take a healthy crap at your workplace. But if you're in pursuit of a fling or a one-night stand, that sounds like a runny dump you should take at a bar. Remember, both wipe jobs and workplace encounters shouldn't be one and dones.
I think it's pretty good. I love calling it a wipe job. Throwing that in the end there just seals the deal for me.
Perfect. I feel like it's noble to pursue, you know, a work crush if there's something actually real there. And if you do it in a real responsible way where maybe you talk to your boss or you do whatever the company's policy is, it's the difference between shitting at a Red Robin's and shitting at like a, you know, a Morton's. You know?
Yeah.
The bathrooms in the Morton's are nice.
That's right. You go to the Morton's to shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think I agree. I think it's sort of like, the shitting where you eat seems like the reason it's shitting is because it's something that you're like, well, it's not something that you are thinking of in a serious context or something that you're thinking of past just being like, I think it would be great to hook up with this person. But if you like feel like there's a vested interest there or like a romantic future and it's like possible to do without having any serious repercussions on like your job or your career or their job or career or like anything where you're like, this could be bad for someone involved, then I'm not opposed to it. I am
neither.
I feel like the friend in a movie who's just being like, I don't know about that, but it's like, it'll either work out or it won't. That's all relationships.
And I think you might as well try your best by quitting the job for the person.
Exactly. That's how you start it. Before you even tell them you're interested, you're just like, so I quit the job. And the reason I did that,
it's because I actually secretly love you. And what do you think? What's the worst advice you've ever received personally?
I feel like any advice that anyone gives me where it's like, oh, girls love X, I'm always like, well, not every girl loves this one. It's always such a weird thing to just make like a blanket advice where it's like, here's what you do. It's like, you don't know who I'm talking about. It's like, correct. Here's what you should do, as if it's always going to work.
No, there's a formula, dude.
Yeah, okay. It's math.
Yeah. Negging and all that stuff. You know, you read The Game.
Right. Yeah, there's my favorite book.
I was talking about that with someone else recently. I remember like being on the pickup artist subreddit and reading those threads.
Oh my God.
Like, holy fuck. And there was a part of me at the time, I was probably 22 or whatever. I just moved to California, didn't have any friends at all. So I was just like in an apartment by myself. And a little part of my brain was like, should I just go try this and just see if it works?
Oh God. I kind of wish you had, if only to have this like big, like come to Jesus moment of like, I can never do anything like that ever again.
Yeah, exactly. I'm never wearing a fedora and lip piercing ever. Oh, and then God. I'm going to treat women well.
Have you ever seen a photo of that guy, Mystery, the like famous pickup artist?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the first time I saw a photo of him, I was like, who sees this photo and goes, all right, yeah, I'm going to do what he does.
Or who sees this photo and is like, I love this style.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to become him.
Because he would go to like clubs, you know, like.
I don't think anyone at a club is looking for Johnny Depp in the Willy Wonka reboot.
Yeah, exactly. Or like Chris Angel or something.
Yeah.
But maybe they are. We don't know.
It's true. Maybe that's specifically who they're going there for. I don't know.
Okay. How would you feel about a lightning round? I'm going to name two people of note. And you have to tell me who you'd rather take advice from. In this scenario, you have to take advice from one of them and explain to me why you're choosing one over the other. Cool?
I love this. Let's go.
Okay. Lorelai or Rory Gilmore?
Ooh. I'm going to say Lorelai because Rory doesn't know what she's doing, but she pretends like she does.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know this is a lightning round, but I just want to... You watched the whole thing, right?
Every episode.
And then you went on after... Wasn't there like...
They brought back the show for like four special episodes and we had a cameo in them.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I had no idea. That's so
surreal.
Sick.
Yeah.
Is it on Netflix?
Yep.
Wow, that's fucking awesome.
It feels like a whole life ago for me because I'm like, that was like 5 years ago. I don't know.
Okay, James Corden or Bustopher Jones?
Oh God. Corden, because I couldn't listen to Bustopher and take anything he's saying seriously. I'd just be like, man, I just watched you eat fish out of a trash can. I'm not listening to you.
Okay. Jim and Pam or Tim and Don?
Who are Tim and Don?
I have no idea.
I'm gonna go Tim and Don because I don't trust Jim and Pam one bit.
Earth, Wind and Fire or 30 Seconds to Mars?
Oh, Earth, Wind and Fire.
I know.
I can't take advice from Jared Leto.
He's crazy.
It's against the closest thing I have to a religion, which is just the one page in a book that says, don't take advice from Jared Leto.
Yeah. Do you remember like at the start of the lockdown or something like that? He was like in the desert.
Yeah.
And then he tweeted like 3 days later, he's like, damn, just got back from the desert. Like, you know, was off the grid for a while. Like,
and the whole world
can't believe
changed.
What's happening. Yeah. Let's stay safe. Everyone is like, you're an ass, dude.
Yeah. That guy sucks.
All right, the inventor of the autonomous car or the Ocean Spray Fleetwood Mac guy? Dogface 420, I think is his name, right?
Yeah, I'm taking advice from Dogface. He knows how to live. The autonomous car guy, I don't like his work.
I feel like that video of the Ocean Spray Fleetwood Mac guy gives people the same feeling as your September 21st videos.
Oh, and his is so much more freeing.
Yours, when you watch yours, you're like, holy fuck, this is an actual, like, you got to choreograph everything.
Yeah, and he doesn't have to do it every year.
Yes. So is it more of like a, does it plague you now? Like, is it something that you...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you're... Because you got to best yourself every year, right?
And it's this thing where, like, just starting in, like, even May of whatever year, people are just like, hey, we're almost there. I'm like, I can't have this be what everyone's doing. Just, like, looking at me, I feel like there are times...
Demi, it's coming up. It's coming up.
It feels like there are times where I walk down the street and someone will mention the September thing to me and not, like, say hi or anything. Just, like, in the way that I think people used to yell, like, Rick James, bitch, at Chappelle. And I'm just like, well, I can't live life just wondering if this is going to happen at any moment. But, yeah.
They go, hey, Demi.
Do you remember?
September 21st.
I'm walking my dog, man.
It's got to be what the, Billy Ray Armstrong feels about the October ending.
Oh, yeah. Or Billy Joe Armstrong.
Billy Joe Armstrong.
You're confusing Billy Ray Cyrus and Billy Joe Armstrong.
Or maybe I'm just thinking about like a hybrid of the two.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
It would be. Let's get to work on that, scientists.
I feel bad for Billy, though, because I think that song is about his dad dying. So everyone, it's like literally that one day Twitter is just on fire with jokes about his dad dying. Not good.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry to bring the mood down there. Charles Darwin or Charles Barkley?
Barkley. Darwin can't dunk for shit.
Okay, nice. 21 Savage or a Forever 21 cashier?
21 Savage.
Okay, why?
I just think he'd give me crazier pieces of advice, so I just love to hear what he's going to say in any given scenario.
That's true.
Yeah.
He also is like, he's kind of like a really, really good person.
Is he?
He does like a ton of charity work.
Oh, sick.
I feel like any advice he'd have would be legitimately great advice.
Fantastic.
And a Forever 21 employee.
Yeah, how much charity work are you doing, Charles?
Yeah, exactly. Clive Owen or Candace Owens?
Clive. I'm not... Yeah. Clive.
Yeah. Demi Moore, Demi Lovato, or yourself in a mirror?
I'm not taking advice from myself. I'll fuck that up. I will take advice from Demi Moore... Because she's dated Ashton Kutcher and Bruce Willis. I think she's gone through hell.
She dated Bruce Willis?
Oh, yeah. I think she's a kid with
what?
Him.
What?
Am I making...
Really?
I'm not... I feel like there might... I'm like, am I crossing wires here?
No. You might be right. And I think I'm confused because she's older. And that it was weird when she dated Ashton Kutcher because the age difference was super large, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they were married for 12 years.
Okay, yeah, right. And Ashton Kutcher is just like Mr. Tech investor guy now.
Oh, yeah. He did it the right way, where he's just going to be like, I'm just going to disappear, do some good shit, and then also make a lot of money, but quietly.
Yeah. It's not really that quiet, though. I see him in an ad for Acorns like all the fucking time now.
Oh, then he's just out of my view.
Maybe you're just not on Ashton Kutcher TikTok.
I guess not. He's got the custom settings to make sure that I don't see his ads ever. I respect
it. He's got you blocked?
Yeah, why not?
Justin Bieber has me blocked, and I still don't know why.
Oh, there's got to be a story there. You should do an investigative podcast just to figure that out.
Do you think so? I wrote a song called Why Did Justin Bieber Block Me, and I want to release that, and then hopefully maybe that'll get his attention.
Yeah, I think if you got to release the song like just after he's released a song, beat him on the Billboard charts, and then you got the answer.
I think it's because I don't know, something about Lele Pons' manager wanting to fight me. And he's friends with her. I think that's why. But it's still very weird. Are you blocked by anyone weird? Or anyone super famous? Or are you blocked by anyone? I feel like you're pretty universally loved on Twitter.
I'm blocked by many a person. And I relish it every time. I know that Alec Baldwin has me blocked. I can't figure out why. And I'm okay. I'm kind of fine with it. I'm just like, yeah, sure.
That's a random one.
Yeah. I even just searched like to see if I even tweeted anything that like involved Alec Baldwin, and I had like one joke but I didn't tag him in it, so I'm like, is Alec Baldwin name searching being like, I don't like that joke, you're gone?
Wow, you think he really does that?
Maybe he seems like the kind of guy that would.
Yeah. I do you do it ever?
Name search?
Yeah,
only because I have my mentions to like people I follow mentions only, so it's like sometimes I'll be like, well, what are... I don't want it to be like I just am not reading anything anyone says. So I'll just search at Electra Lemon. And then in that, sometimes I'll see like something someone didn't tag me in. But I'm never like...
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I'm always just I don't... If someone's shit talking me, I'm like, okay, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm becoming more like that too. That's healthier, right?
Oh, yeah. Life is a lot better when you just sort of go like, well, they'd have plenty of reasons to not like me. And then just sort of move on.
That's great advice.
It's not even necessarily being like... oh, they're right, I'm a piece of shit, but it's like, There are, like, think
you're
of
right.
All the...
My hair does fucking suck. You're right.
I'm going to cut it all. But it's just sort of like, I think with anyone, like, think of the most random people that you are just like, I don't like that guy. And then just be like, it's like you wouldn't tweet about it, but someone who, like, might have to see you a million times and it's just like, I don't like that guy. It's like, fine, I'm going to say it to my 12 followers. I don't like that guy. And it's like, yeah. All right, cool. Go for it.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I think that's great advice. What's the worst advice you've ever given?
I think I'm very impulsive sometimes where people will be like, should I get this thing? And I always encourage people to be like, yeah, let's do it. You should do it. Do it. It's going to make you happy. And then they're like, all right, I bought this $2,000 white couch. It's dirty as fuck now. And I'm like, okay.
So you told someone to get a white couch.
I didn't do that specifically, but I have told a lot of people to buy bigger TVs in the pandemic.
Why?
Just because theaters are gone and I'm like, everyone's at home. You're just going to be like watching shit all the time. Why not just get a very good TV?
Yeah.
And I have one friend who just like doesn't watch TV that often, but bought a big TV. And now it's just like, I think she's like, I feel like I have to watch more things to justify this big purchase. And I'm like,
so it was good advice then, because you want her to watch more stuff.
That's true. I want her to watch more things and do less of everything else she has to do so that she can stream Avatar. So I think it was great advice, actually.
How are the drive-in movies? I think I'm going to one tonight.
It's a mixed bag. I really enjoy it. I think it's nice to feel like you're in a community of people again, but then it's also like, you're watching something in an area where it's like not fully dark enough that you can see the screen as good as you could in a theater. And okay. It's like coming through your car stereo. So you're like, this isn't the best audio.
Wait, what?
Because basically to hear the screen, you have to turn your radio to a specific frequency.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. I thought you sat outside the car on like a... Oh, but then you have to play it outside your windows anyways.
Yeah. Well, you can sit outside your car. I bought like a little radio and we'll just like plug in headphones and sit on the hood of my car, which is nice. The one thing that I will say is just like objectively better in a drive-in is that there are points at which people will just honk their horns for moments in the movie. And it's always funny every single time because it's like there's no like scale of like this honk means yay or this honk means boo. It's just, it's just this honk is a honk. So there'll be a moment in like a movie where someone says like a famous catchphrase and everyone's like honk 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 honk, and it's like it makes me laugh every time.
Are you cheering for it? Are you booing?
Yeah. There was one movie I saw where there was like a very like just I went to see Evil Dead and there's like a controversial scene with like a tree raping a woman and there was just one guy who just went honk in the back and I was like what is that for? Are you like this rules or are you going I hate this, don't do this? Because I'm like it's just a honk, and it sounds funny. So I'm just like, God, what an awful thing to honk.
It's funny. It's such a it's a pretty neutral sound. Like in terms of, it could be very positive, it could be very negative. So it just cancels out, and it's just.
Yeah, it's just like selling. It's like yelling, "I'm watching this in the middle of a theater." It's so weird.
So do you think people would like me to lay on the horn for a long period of time?
I think so. Show your approval.
Yes, or just show my dominance over
That's
the
right.
audience.
That's a big part of it. You got to let people, it's like going to prison. The very minute you get there, you got to honk the horn as loud as you can to let people know you're the big dog.
Yeah, should I be flipping people off, like other cars?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's cool when you're parked beside cars as well. You do it on the highway, that's dope. But you can also do it to someone who's just right beside you parked.
Yeah, why not? Do it to everyone. Might go do it to my roommate in a bit.
Yeah. Hey, I'm watching this movie better than you are.
Hey, how you been, man?
Well, that's going to do it for this episode. I want to thank Demi for being here. I appreciate it. I feel like we solved another one, and I couldn't have done it without you.
Hell yeah. Happy to be here.
Pop a couple love laxatives and go to town at work if Cupid's arrow strikes you in your cubicle. But if the relationship runs its course, then how about letting them down gently with a nice courtesy flush? What do you think of that?
Love it. Love a wipe job, love a courtesy flush.
All in reference to healthy... or unhealthy relationships.
Right. A thing that people desire.
Yeah, exactly. Is there anything you want to plug?
Check out the Amber Ruffin Show on Peacock. It's free.
Nice.
Follow me at ElectroLemon on Twitter and Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. I'll see you again in 5 years.
Yep. I'll mark the calendar right now.
Hey, man. You having trouble with life? Well, let me give you some advice.
The Pleasure is Ours is a production of iHeartRadio and Trojan Brand, hosted by me, Cody Ko. The podcast is executive produced by Ethan Fixell, produced and written by Jonathan Grimm, written by Dave Adut, and engineered, edited, and mixed by Matt Stillo. Our theme song was composed by me, Cody Ko, with additional music by Brad Kemp at Second Bedroom Studio. If you haven't already subscribed, rated, or reviewed The Pleasure is Ours, please do so on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, baby. Thanks again for tuning in to The Pleasure is Ours, presented by Trojan Brand Condoms. That's a wrap for our episode, and also, you should be wrapping it up in the bedroom. I'm talking, of course, about your penis. You know, when you're out there doing your thing, you gotta be safe, and you gotta get a condom that works for you. If you ever hear a guy complaining about condoms, it's likely because he's been uncomfortable using the wrong fit. He probably doesn't even know that Trojan has over 30 different size and shape varieties to solve all condom fit issues. So pick up a box of Trojan condoms wherever you get your condoms, and maybe even a second box that you've been wanting to try out. Look at you, you fucking sex lord. Go for it, buddy. See you next time.